I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essin. In the headlines, government optimistic of measures put in place to arrest depreciation of cedi. Heads of national drug law enforcement agencies petition ECOWAS to harmonize laws on narcotics. Government procures 161 ambulances to support national ambulance service. 20 people killed in northern Mali following clashes between Islamist and Tuareg rebels. And Tunisian parliamentarians push for no confidence vote against President Moncef Marzouk following extradition of former Libyan Prime Minister. The news in detail.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
A Deputy Minister of Finance, Fifi Kwete, said it is true that government has had some challenges with how the cedi performed against foreign currencies. But he said government and the Bank of Ghana have put in place policies to check the depreciation. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Kwete said the policies are yielding results as the cedi has started gaining some strength vis-a-vis the dollar.
The fundamental issue, as you rightly pointed out, has to do with the fact that as a nation, we need to address the long-term issues relating to how much we export and how much we import. When you have a nation where majority of people believe that the quick way of making money is to import, you always are going to have a situation where there's going to be pressure on your currency, on the foreign, much more demand for foreign currency, and that's going to put pressure on your local currency. But let's look at some of the things that happened. In 2008, the currency depreciated by 20%. Now, it actually would have been far more, but for the fact that the NPP resorted to the sale of Ghana Telecom and also to bringing down the reserves of the country from about 3 months of import cover to about 1.8 months of import cover. And that was what they managed to use to be able to hold it. Now, it is true that this year we've had quite some challenge, but we still, from January up to May ending, the depreciation was about 15%. Now, if you're watching what had happened in the last 3 weeks of this month of June, actually, we'll notice, as far as the average interbank is concerned, there is actually a marginal appreciation in the cedi, meaning the cedi has started gaining some strength vis-a-vis the dollar.
Deputy Minister of Finance, Fifi Kwete. Members of the opposition NPP continue to blame government's mismanagement of the economy for the depreciation of the cedi. The latest, a member of the NPP's economic team, Kweku Kwarteng, says government's strategy of addressing the issue is to make political gains in this year's elections. He says government must deal with the fundamental problem of production and not stabilizing the cedi. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
The government focus in dealing with this matter is a certain short-termist approach to achieve stability in an election year to say, yes, we've been able to stabilize the cedi. I mean, the strategies we're discussing now, that mopping up excess liquidity, you're doing it at a certain cost. I want to understand what government imagines the cost to be. The government's attitude for me, it's more about just stabilizing the city. I mean, going to charge money on forex deposits. So what? I guess would not deposit. I can still change into foreign exchange if I find that necessary and just keep them under my bed. In that case, that money is not accessible to reduce the pressure on your local currency. Again, for me, that is a wrong strategy. Besides, you never know why people are keeping money in their forex account. Some of us depend on remittances. If remittances come and you want to keep it in your account for some time and it is more small, government saying I'm going to charge you tax on it. So we are not dealing, in my opinion, with a fundamental problem. And I worry that these strategies in the long term will fail.
A member of the NPP's economic team, Kweku Kwarteng. Only four countries globally, including Ghana, are to benefit from the Compact 2 development of the Millennium Challenge Cooperation Package, This is due to the judicious use of the package of $547 million, which ended in February this year, through infrastructure and other development projects. The other beneficiaries are Tanzania, El Salvador, and the Philippines. This came to light during a day stakeholders forum on Millennium Challenge Compact 2 in Kofodria in the Eastern Region. It was soliciting views to help prepare a concrete proposal in securing the Compact 2 grants. Correspondent Enoch Osaikisi was there and has filed this report.
The forum was to inform stakeholders about the key issues for consideration under the Compact 2 and also to seek their inputs on key problems identified and possible interventions into the designed proposal. A financial advisor at the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Albert Asamoah, noted that the Compact 2 will focus on boosting the energy sector, which contributes about 5.6% of the country's GDP. This, he noted, will help address the challenges of unreliable and inadequate supply of power. As part of the preparatory work towards the acquisition of the grant, Dr. Asamoah said government has set up a core team to assist in the preparation of the compact and has come out with a constraint analysis report that looked at the three main constraints in the energy sector, which are unreliable power supply, lack of credit, and property rights. He said although the grant will not entirely address power challenges, it will to some extent increase the national grid and also upgrade some of the outmoded lines. The Deputy Eastern Regional Minister, Ebenezer Okletetelabi, commended the Millennium Challenge Corporation for its immense contribution to the nation's development through the improvement in road network, agriculture, health and education. He was hopeful the Compact 2 will similarly help improve the energy sector, which abounds with lots of challenges. According to him, the region benefited immensely during the Compact 1 grant, and significant among them was the improvement in some major road networks, including the 75-kilometer Agogodom Trunk Road.
That was Henok Osaikisi's report. The Deputy Upper West Regional Minister, Caesar Kale, has reacted to NPP flagbearer's assertion that the Better Ghana agenda has collapsed. He said Nanado, being a flagbearer of the opposition NPP, will not acknowledge the fact that the Better Ghana agenda has worked to perfection. Mr. Kale catalogued a number of projects under the NDC that suggest that the Better Ghana agenda is alive.
Well, I'm not surprised about Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo's, you know, assertion that the NDC Better Ghana agenda has not materialized. Because, well, we all know that he's the opposition leader, and for that matter, the flag bearer of the New Patriotic Party. And for that matter, I do not think that you will see anything that we have done as a government positively. But I want to assure you that it's rather on the contrary. The NDC Better Ghana agenda has actually worked to its perfection. I always want to use my domain to actually testify or table that indeed the Better Ghana agenda of His Excellency Professor John Evans Dr. Mills has worked to perfection. If we come to the Upper West region, indeed, apart from the NDC one government, when the NPP government came for the 8 good years, Upper West received very little development projects in this region. In the area of health, in the area of education, even agriculture, cotton industry used to be one of the proactive economic activities in the region, cotton production. But before NPP left, cotton production was on its knees. That's collapsed. It is today. His Excellency's assumption, just 3.5 years, the cotton industry has been revived in the Upper West region. Now,
on education, Mr. Kale said the Upper West region is already enjoying free education.
You talk about education, and he even mentioned that when he is elected as president, he will bring free education. I want to say that Nana Addo-Dankwa should not, for us, Upper Westerners, he should not recognize us as some people say, he should not recognize us with free education, because already in the northern sector, we already enjoy free education. He should be talking about, I mean, something very concrete.
Yeah, Honorable, it's a fact that the Northern region is enjoying free education, but Nanado said he will extend it to cover the whole Ghana. Is it not a laudable idea?
What we are saying is that if you consider the educational system of Ghana, some aspect of educational aspect of Ghana is free. That is, we have free tuition fee in every school in Ghana here. But we are saying that realistically, whether education is free or not, students definitely will still pay some of the items that they are paying for in school, as we are expressing today. And for that matter, to have a holistic free education can never be done at this material moment, when we lack a lot of things, we still have some schools even being attended to under trees.
Deputy Upper West Regional Minister Cesar Kale. The head of the Narcotics Control Board, Yawa Krefisapong, has warned of new methods of consuming narcotic substances, which he describes as worrying. In this regard, the heads of national drug law enforcement agencies have petitioned ECOWAS to harmonize all laws concerning narcotics to give uniform sentencing. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Krefisapong proposed the setting up of more rehabilitating centers, having more psychoanalysts and clinical psychologists. He bemoaned the situation where drug addicts are criminalized instead of being treated as patients.
What has come up very clearly is the new methods of concealment, as well as the new threat of methamphetamine, which is becoming a threat in Africa.
So with all these challenges, how is the sub-region tackling it?
The ECOWAS has reassured the region that they are looking forward to putting before the heads of state in the shortest possible time the fact that all laws in the sub-region must be harmonized. There has to be a certain minimum level of sentence for anybody who maybe diverts ephedrine for the manufacture of methamphetamine, or people who possess cocaine, because various countries have different sentencing regimes, and that is one of the things that the ECOWAS Commission hopes to be able to get our heads of state and heads of government to pass a protocol on. The other thing is the fact that they are going to help individual countries to enhance our demand reduction strategies. You know, when you are dealing with drugs, there is a demand reduction aspect which involves education, rehabilitation. And we realize that in Africa, drug addicts are criminalized when it's a human rights issue. Governments have not put in place policies which have tended to stop the menace, and people have taken the drugs.
Head of NACOB, Yawa Krefisapong. Vice President John Mahama has extended an invitation to the private sector to diversify into areas of health, particularly specialized fields in the sector. Inaugurating a cancer medical center at Adirigano in Accra, the vice president noted that government alone cannot set up these centers in all public hospitals, hence the need for public-private partnership. The Sweden Ghana Medical Center Limited offers state-of-the-art cancer treatment techniques at affordable fees. The event was graced by former President John Ejikum Kufuo and Lady Julia, wife of the Asantehene Otunfuo 32. Pascalina Dadivor reports.
Experts say the cause of cancer is unknown, but prompt detection and treatment can save the situation from getting worse. Lifestyle, modernization and poor eating habits can sometimes contribute to some of these diseases. Due to the rampant occurrence of various types of cancers, specialist centers like the Sweden Ghana Medical Center comes in handy to offer comprehensive cancer care. It provides radiotherapy, chemotherapy, pain control, clinical trials and cancer prevention programs, so that people will not have to travel abroad for such treatments. The center is partly financed by Ghanaian investors. At the moment, cancer centers are only located at Kolibu and the Konfanochi teaching hospitals. Vice President John Mahama sees private sector investment in this area as imperative.
This is the most modern cancer center in Africa because this is the latest with the latest equipment. With this center, it means that it will no longer be necessary for people to bear the high cost of traveling to Europe or South Africa or other places to receive cancer care. Cancer care would be available right here and at an affordable cost. And so on behalf of the government and people of Ghana, I wish to congratulate the initiators of this project for a job well done and to encourage them and tell them that government will be there for them to support you in any way possible to make sure that the objectives you set yourself in setting up the center are achieved.
The Chief Executive Officer of the Sweden Ghana Medical Center, Thomas Puller, said the dream of the center is to become a center of excellence in various cancer care modalities in the sub-region. 4 years ago, the sword was cut for the construction of the center by former President John Ejikum Kufuor. Sword cutting for the official opening was symbolically jointly done by Vice President John Mahama, former President Kufuor, and Lady Julia. For Radio Ghana, Pascalina Dadevu, Accra.
Government has placed order for the procurement of the first batch of 161 ambulances to support the National Ambulance Service. The Minister of Health, Alban Bagbin, said 50 of these ambulances have already been sent to some districts, while 50 others are soon to be distributed to other districts in the country. The last batch of 61 ambulances with oxygen plants will arrive next month. The minister was speaking at the graduation parade of the Emergency Medical Technician Advanced Batch 1 in Accra. Mark Ufiahe Ajimai has filed this report.
The National Ambulance Service was established in 2004 with the task of providing pre-hospital care to the sick and the wounded and conveying them to health facilities. Currently, the service is operational in all the 10 regions. In all, 120 emergency medical technicians graduated and they will be dispatched to all the branches across the country. The Minister of Health, Alban Bagbin, stated that his ministry is doing all it can to improve on the country's emergency medical services in order to save lives. He said government will equip the service in ensuring that it provides quality services to the people.
So our emergency response system is being strengthened and enlarged to make sure that delays are no more a system to pull us back in our onward march towards health for all by the year 2020. EMTs and paramedics provide this vital service as they care for and transport the sick and injured to our medical facilities. Government is committed to ensure the establishment of an effective emergency medical services in the country.
The sector minister commended the graduates for taking a bold step in adding up to emergency medical technicians who are working hard to save lives. Mr. Bagwin asked them to put to good use whatever they have learned in the various districts they find themselves.
Mark Ufiahe Ajimai's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Government optimistic of measures put in place to arrest depreciation of cedi. Heads of national drug law enforcement agencies petition ECOWAS to harmonize laws on narcotics. Government procures 161 ambulances to support national ambulance service. 20 people killed in northern Mali following clashes between Islamist and Tuareg rebels. And Tunisian parliamentarians push for no confidence vote against President Moncef Marzouk following extradition of former Libyan Prime Minister. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Moving on, a three-day regional stakeholders meeting on neglected tropical diseases, NTDs, has ended in Accra with a roadmap that will help in the control and eradication of the diseases in Africa. It includes working with stakeholders by involving the affected persons and governments having a budget line on NTDs. Here's a report by Sandra Dansel.
Resource requirements for the implementation of NTD programs in the African region over the next 5 years and elements of the roadmap for sealing up NTD interventions dominated discussions in the meeting. Participants suggested that the goal of eliminating NTDs needs to be shared with the communities at risk, health workers, governments and donor community. They also observed that NTDs are public health problems and as such, they need to be addressed with public health solutions, including hygiene, sanitation, the use of bed nets, and behavioral change. The program manager of NTDs Ghana, Dr. Nana Kwejo-Brechum, explained that the roadmap that the participants came up with will be shared with governments on the way forward for NTDs in Africa. He mentioned the next step after the meeting.
The country program, so we're going to go back to a country program within government to make sure that we can implement. Already we do have some support from government and from some of the donor partners.
Some participants gave their impression about the meeting.
The meeting has been very active. You know, all the participants have been actively involved in discussion, the contributing. I think it's one of the landmark developments to move the agenda of the entities forward.
It's been a great opportunity to brainstorm, and although the objectives were quite ambitious, I believe they will be met.
Some participants at the meeting, ending that report by Sandra Dansel. Disaster management experts from across the globe are meeting in Accra at Ghana's first international conference on pandemics to share experiences on the management of epidemics and pandemics. Ghana has suffered influenza, cholera, and cerebral spinal meningitis, CSM, in the past, and the management of these outbreaks is one of the issues that is being shared with other experts from across the world. Linda Goji has the details.
The conference will offer a platform to obtain global updates on current developments in pandemics and epidemics, and also to discuss the role of the public and private sectors in national preparedness. One of the major concerns was that pandemics know no boundaries, hence the need to join hands with other countries to fight the causes. The national coordinator of NADMO, Kofi Potofi, said though such outbreaks have been on the low in the country, there is a need to prepare for future outbreaks. This, he said, necessitated the organization of the first international conference on pandemics to share experiences from other countries.
Linda Guji reporting. 42 of the 45 new district assemblies are being inaugurated today. In Accra, two new districts, the La Municipal Assembly and the New Okaimine District Assembly, will be inaugurated. The Ghana Registered Nurses Association has inaugurated a 29-member council to steer its affairs for the next 4 years. A past president of the association, Mrs. Emma Banga, who inaugurated the council, entreated members to be selfless in discharging their duties and be a source of comfort to the sick. Judith Doe was at the inauguration and has come through with this report.
The Ghana Nurses Association elects national council members after every 4 years to steer the affairs of the association. The national council is made up of 29 members. For the 10 regions, each region is represented by 2 members, and the remaining 9 constitutes the national executives. Members are elected by delegates and screened by a vetting committee before they qualify to represent the regions or be part of the national executives. The immediate past president of the association, Madam Alice Dakua Asari Aloti, entreated the new council members to be united and work together in order to achieve their goals. He cautioned them against complacency and advised them that it was only through unity that they can achieve their goals. The newly elected president, Kweku Asante Kurobia, said there is a need to strengthen the local associations to enable them to deliver quality service to Ghanaians. He noted that the National Council will not hesitate to punish any member who is found maltreating a patient or causes the death of a patient through negligence.
Judith Doe's report. The Teachers and Educational Workers Union of the TUC, TIL, has given a 2-week ultimatum to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to resume negotiations on the payment of the 15% retention premium to some of its members. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, the General Secretary of TIL, Mohamed Bogobiri, said delay in resuming negotiations is creating tension and members will advise themselves after the set date. Linda Nyam has filed this report.
Mr. Mohamed Bogobiri said the union has written many letters to the commission and has not received any feedback. He said the union had to call off a strike following the intervention of the National Labour Commission in September last year, based on terms agreed. According to him, it is unfortunate that the commission has failed to meet its part of the agreement.
The delay has created dissatisfaction among the affected staff and prompted the members' committee of the union at a meeting to resolve that if by the close of work 30 July 2012, negotiations for the payment of the 15% retention premium have not resumed, two members in the Ghana Education Service will be needed to advise themselves. Since May 2011, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and the Teachers and Educational Workers Union have agreed that 11 out of 22 classes of the non-teaching staff of the Ghana Education Service, who are our members, should be paid 15% retention premium. However, since then, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission has woefully failed to meet TIL.
The chairman of TIL, Peter Lumo, says its members in secondary schools and the Ghana Education Service are very aggrieved. That is why the union is calling on the commission to start negotiations.
A report by Linda Nyam. Exporters and agencies that support the export trade have held a forum in Accra to deliberate on challenges that face exporters and find solutions to them. Some of the challenges to the export trade are disproportionate levies charged on export items and funding. To address these challenges, the Ghana Export Promotion Authority has introduced to exporters solutions like the Export Development and Agricultural Investment Fund. The authority also took time to educate exporters on services and procedures available for the development and promotion of exports. This took place at the 73rd National Exporters Forum held in Accra. The Demonstration School for the Deaf at Mampong Kriapim has sent an SOS to government for assistance. The headmistress of the school, Regina Dankwa, said as a special school, the poor state of infrastructure and lack of facilities are making effective teaching and learning difficult. She said since the school is not fenced, the life of the pupils are in perpetual danger because the school is located on the main Accra-Kufodria highway. The situation, she said, puts the children's life at risk. Madame Dankwa made this known to Radio Ghana when the school visited Parliament as part of its 45th anniversary. Here's a report by Stephen Kweye and Augustus Akwe.
The saying goes that if the mountain will not come to Mohammed, Mohammed will go to the mountain. Acting on this, the Demonstration School for the Deaf at Mampong Kriapim paid a visit to Parliament to not only acquaint themselves with the work of the legislature, but also meet the MPs for Akre, Ebrin Sawom, and Ekropon, since the school is within their reach. The headmistress, Regina Dankwa, noted that since the school's establishment as the premier institution for the hearing impaired some 45 years ago, the school has not seen any major facelift. She said the school should also benefit from the level of attention given senior high schools.
The school is 45 years, but it doesn't look like a school which is 45 years. The old buildings which were established as classrooms and dormitories remain the same. We have no administration block, no library, no computer lab, and then with about 10 computers donated to us by Rotary Club, which are non-functioning. Meanwhile, the schools for the deaf or special schools are the only institutions in the country which have boarding facilities. All others are dead. And so we are classified as running second cycle programs administratively. So we expect them also to treat us as they treat others.
One of the MPs that the teachers and students were eager to meet was the MP for Ekropong, William Boafo. After he briefed the pupils of the work of Parliament, he invited questions from the deaf and deaf and blind children. Disability, they say, is not inability, and thus the children brought to bear, as with the help of their interpreter, they anxiously raised their hands to sign their questions for the MP. The barrage of questions the people asked largely bordered on the development of their school. They also wanted to know when interpreters will be at hospitals and other public places to assist them, as well as the provision of signed textbooks for them. Mr. Boafo assured the school children and staff that they had not been neglected.
To the MP, I don't have money to do those things. When you need anything at all, he will send it to us. Then we take it to the ministry. So my suggestion to Madam Dankwa is that we should have a development plan for 2 or 3 years or 5 years. Then we'll pick it up and send it to the Minister of Education, Special School Division, for study and implementation.
The Demonstration School for the Deaf plans to have fun games, a spelling bee, and a health walk as part of its 45th anniversary this year.
Stephen Kweye and Augustus Akwe have that report. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. 20 people were killed and the political leader of the Tuareg-led rebel movement wounded when Islamist forces in northern Mali seized the town of Gao after clashes with Tuareg-led rebels. Residents say the Islamists linked to Al-Qaeda took over buildings occupied by the Tuaregs in the town, including their headquarters. Tension has been growing since the Tuaregs and Islamists jointly took control of northern Mali after a coup. Tunisian parliamentarians are pushing for a no-confidence vote in the Islamist-led government, whose divisive decision to extradite Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's prime minister has caused the country's deepest political crisis since last year's elections. Tunisia extradited al-Baghdadi Ali al-Mahmoudi to Libya on Sunday, making him the first senior Gaddafi-era official to be returned for trial under Libya's transitional leadership. But Tunisian President Moncef Marzouki, a veteran human rights activist, complained that the extradition had taken place without his permission, which he had withheld for months, over concerns that Mahmoudi would not receive a fair trial in Libya. Turning to the main points again. Ghana, together with three other countries globally, have qualified for Compact 2 of the Millennium Challenge Cooperation Package. This came to light at a stakeholders forum on the Millennium Challenge Compact 2 in Kofodria. Vice President John Mahama has inaugurated a state-of-the-art cancer medical center in Accra. The center is to offer modern cancer treatment at affordable fees. The MPP is attributing the depreciation of the city to lack of confidence in President Mills' administration. The news was presented by Samuel Esna in Accra.